This is the CPC Podcast, episode 21 for December 16th, 2018, Piercing Our Present Darkness. This podcast was recorded live at Central Presbyterian Church in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I'm your host, Zach Cosner. This week, Reverend Timothy Reeves returns to our pulpit after a brief absence. I'm also happy to announce that Reverend Reeves will be filling our pulpit for the foreseeable future. In other church news this week, our annual Christmas cantata is coming up next Sunday. Reverend Tim will deliver a short devotional, so expect a shorter podcast than usual next week. Our annual Christmas Eve candlelight service will be held at 3:30 p.m. this year. Please make note of the early start time if you plan on attending. We are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Just search for the username CentralPresPB. Now let's go ahead and turn it over to Reverend Tim Reeves.
What are you feeling these days? Are you, like my grandchildren, so full of excitement you can hardly contain yourselves? Are you stressed at how much more there is to do and how little time there is before Christmas? Are you looking forward to family gatherings, or are you secretly dreading seeing certain people? What are you feeling these days? Some these days are feeling isolated and lonely. Some are experiencing this holiday season for the first time since the death of a loved one. Some are experiencing this holiday season far removed from the ones they love because of service to this country. All the lights and the tinsels and the trees and the music in the stores and on the radio tell us that we are supposed to be happy. But all of those things that are supposed to make everyone feel happy this time of year only serve in some to deepen the sense of loneliness or grief or despair. Perhaps such people don't want to spoil anyone else's holiday cheer, so they walk around hiding those painfully broken aspects of their lives. Or maybe they just try to avoid everyone altogether. But there can be little doubt that they spend their days and their nights in darkness. Advent is a time of darkness and loneliness. It's a time of waiting and longing when the days are shorter and the nights are longer. And some people just wait for it all to be over. Some wait with varying degrees of patience for Christmas to come. Some wait for something or someone to come along to put an end to the pain and loneliness they feel. Some wait for an end to suffering or pain. Some wait for something or someone to come along to just give them enough strength to get through the next minute or the next hour or the next day or the next month or the next year. And maybe there are some of you who wait for such things who are gathered here this morning. And so it is to you that I direct these words in the hope of piercing that present darkness. In recent years, there has been a movement within the Church of Jesus Christ to help address those who feel like this is anything but the most wonderful time of year. It's called the Blue Christmas Music or Movement, and it takes its name from the song popularized by Elvis Presley, in which he sang, "I'll have a blue Christmas without you." This movement acknowledges that far from being the most wonderful time of the year for many people, these are the days filled with darkness and drudgery and despair. But the beauty of those services is that while acknowledging that darkness, that drudgery, and that despair, they also point beyond such things to the God who is the greatest source of our hope, our peace, and our joy. And I believe that our scripture readings this morning do a wonderful job of doing that as well. Let's begin with the prophet Zephaniah. Now, I'm not going to ask by show of hands how many have actually read the prophet Zephaniah. I would doubt very many. It's tucked away in an obscure part of the Old Testament. More often than not, you'll have to use your table of contents to find it. Even if you've memorized all of the books of the Bible, it's not one that makes the top 10 readers list. Zephaniah was a prophet who loved to talk about the day of the Lord, but did so in terms that promised desolation and destruction, of judgment and catastrophe, in which Jerusalem and Judah would be punished for their faithlessness. So it's not a book that you would turn to feel good about yourself. And I think we could say with a fair degree of certainty that Zephaniah, far from looking at the world through rose-colored glasses, saw so much wrong with the world that there was nothing to be done but to destroy it all. And so out of character are the verses we read this morning from Zephaniah that many biblical scholars believe there's no way this prophet could have written them. That someone else must have during the period of Babylonian exile and attributed them to this prophet. So picture, if you will, a people who are defeated, despondent, in exile in a foreign land. They have absolutely no reason whatsoever to smile, to celebrate, to hope. Those were the days when things were as dark could get. Can you imagine the scene in your mind's eye? Now close your eyes and imagine someone saying to you, "There's no place like home for the holidays." Do those words bring joy? Or do they make you feel more homesick? Do they make you feel hope? Or do they make you reflect upon what you have lost? My sense is they would have added only to the melancholy of the people, at least initially. But we don't need to be in exile to know what those feelings are like, do we? But deep down, I ask, what can be more reassuring to any of us who are far from home, our true home, whether it was 6 centuries before Christ or 2,000 years after him, than to hear the word that there is, in fact, a place where you and I belong? And that's just what our reading from Zephaniah asserts. Shout aloud, O daughter, or O Israel, rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. At that time, I will bring you home at the time when I gather you. For I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. Part of the great and good news in our present darkness is that not only does God come to us, but God does so in order to bring us home. Our days of wandering and alienation will come to an end because our Lord came to us as a child born in a manger, who grew to be a man who would die on a cross and reconcile us to God and one another. The lost sheep will be found, the lost coin will be recovered, and the prodigal daughters and sons will be welcomed with open arms. God is in our midst, and in God's presence we find a place where we all belong, a place where we all can feel at home. I love how that old hymn we used to sing quite often in opening assembly puts it. There's a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. And in a world desperate to hear that good news, to know that we are all loved and valued and that we all belong, God comes to each and every one of us and says, "Welcome home." Now let's look at the reading from Philippians. And this time I want you to imagine in your mind's eye the Apostle Paul. Here's a man who has been imprisoned and has experienced anything but an easy life since encountering the risen Christ on the road to Damascus. I wonder if at this time he's shackled to the wall. It's very likely he's either experienced recently a beating where his wounds are still raw and open, or have started to heal, but still there are horrible bruises and scars. It's very possible that as he wrote these words to the church in Philippi, he knew that his days on earth were numbered. And it would not be difficult to imagine him drowning in a sea of self-pity and despair. Close your eyes and listen as someone sings "Joy to the World." Amazingly, he who would have had so much to complain about wasted not a single moment complaining, but rather exhorted Christians to rejoice in the Lord. Now, Paul does not root this joy in denial or escapism or some Pollyanna view of life which says that everything is rosy and sweet. Rather, Paul roots this rejoicing, even in prison, even facing the prospect of death, in the love of God. Elsewhere, to the church in Rome, Paul would write, "Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And that, plain and simple, was what pierced holes in Paul's own darkness. Paul trusted that in all things God was with him, providing resources, possibilities, grace, and the strength to endure. God's providential care had led him through floggings, shipwrecks, stonings, beatings, untold dangers and hardships, sleeplessness, hunger, and thirst. And because of that intimate experience of God's presence, he was able to say to Christians then and now, "Rejoice in the Lord, for the Lord is near." And we can take that in two senses. We don't know when, but in the blink of an eye, our Lord will return. And this veil of tears in which we live will be no more. A new heaven and a new earth where nothing accursed shall be found, shall be ushered in. But the Lord is near also means there is nothing we can endure, no pain that we can undergo, no grief that we might experience that our Lord does not know and share with us each and every moment of our lives. Think about that. This past Friday marked the 6th anniversary of the horrible shooting at Newtown, where a madman took the lives of 26 children and teachers. And there are no words. I can't even imagine the pain that those parents feel every Christmas. But God can. God knows what it's like to lose a child. God knows that pain intimately and can pierce that darkness in ways I never could. The Lord is near. And finally, we come to our reading from Luke. And I will grant that this morning's reading from Luke's gospel is not likely one that will immediately come to mind as an example of a biblical text that can pierce holes in our darkness. Words like, "you brood of vipers," don't exactly warm the human heart, do they? Fiery preaching about the wrath to come hardly makes our days seem merry and bright. And on more than one occasion in my life, I have wondered if maybe Luke was being a little bit ironic when he said, with such exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. Huh? But that is good news. Picture the scene. John, wild-looking, unkempt, wearing camel's hair, likely with dried bits of locust and wild honey in his beard, standing waist-deep in the nasty water of the Jordan River. On the horizon, you can see a steady stream of people coming out to meet him, to hear him preach, to be baptized by him. Close your eyes and imagine the scene, and then think of the Christmas carol, "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year." Why? Because John's task was not only to prepare the people for a Savior, to make them aware of their need for a Savior, but to point to that Savior. So oftentimes in the church, we do a great job of telling the world how much we need a Savior, but we fail to point to the one who is our Savior, who has brought light and life and love and grace. And just like with the refining fire from Malachi last week, all the chaff will be burned away from the wheat so that only a priceless treasure remains. And so John calls the people to repent, to turn their lives around, to go back to that point where they got so far off track, and to meet the one who can redeem them. But we have trouble hearing that message. How many times have we ever heard or said about ourselves or someone else, a leopard can't change his spots? Or how many times do we hear this time of year, someone who is mean-spirited, miserly, or just plain miserable, referred to as a Scrooge? We forget, though, that Scrooge repented at the end of the book and became a loving and valued member in his community, a warm-hearted friend and benefactor. But we never call anyone like that Scrooge. Why? Because we don't have it in our heads that people can actually be changed. And so we walk around in this darkness, and all we see is the stain in ourselves and others. But Jesus comes and says, I am the light of the world, and I am going to pierce this darkness, and you are a loved and valued part of my Father's creation. Welcome home. And when our Lord touches us and pierces that darkness, then we are freed to go out and let that light shine in the darkness of others. What are you feeling this time of year? And how can we be that light someone else so desperately needs? To God be all the honor, glory, and praise forever. Amen.
Thanks again to Reverend Timothy Reeves for the excellent sermon this week. If you enjoyed what you heard today, take a minute to subscribe. We're in the Google Play Store, we're on Apple Podcasts, and we're also on the Stitcher app. And if you have the time, go ahead and leave us a review. It helps people find the podcast. Our theme music is brought to you by Excel Music Publishing, who can be found at www.freemusicpublicdomain.com. That'll do it for this week's episode. I'm your host, Zach Cosner, and I hope you have a great week. See you next time.